This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
We have some exciting news for our listeners. This summer, 2025, we will be releasing our book, Confronting Evil in Our Time, unpacking the Screwtape Letters podcast inspired by C.S. Lewis. We are making signed first edition copies available for you leading up to the release. To secure your first edition signed copy, go to screwtapeletterspodcast.com and fill out the form to get your book. From Galen and I, we want to thank you for your support and Jesus Christ, who makes all things possible. God bless.
All right, folks, welcome back. Screwtape Letters podcast, Confronting Evil in Our Time. We are hopping in here in season two as we're making our second pass through the Screwtape Letters and highlighting some of the Easter eggs, going a little bit deeper on usually one particular topic or a reference in scripture or a wink at something happening in church or history. And here we are, chapter 16. Ian, how are you today?
I'm great. And I want to note to our audience as well that if you've listened to this in audio, this was one of those that was taken out of the abridged version.
Oh, that's right.
23 and 24 were taken out.
And yeah, good shout out to William, who helped us find the audio for John Cleese and got the full version in there. Yeah,
correct. So we have them all. And as I say, this one was taken out. And then when you read it again, it's so interesting how they took this one out, because this one's super important.
Isn't that a good point, actually? Like, I thought this one really, really has a lot of relevance and power. I don't know why they would have made that editorial decision. They had to cut a few for whatever reason. I don't know why they would have picked this one.
But there were a few, like, as we see, there's a few that fall into a similar subject matter, and they could have taken one of those out because the same subject matter was covered. But and even though it was nuanced, this one is very distinct, isn't covered in the others, but it's a hugely important issue. So why don't you sort of dig in and tell our audience what we found Easter egg-wise?
Yeah, sure. So real quick, just to give a quick highlight of the chapter, we're not trying to do the whole chapter over again, but in this letter, Screwtape discovers that the patient, Wormwood's man, has become pretty faithful in attendance to a church, and this is a big problem. Because unless someone is faithful for a church due to complete indifference and, you know, apathy and not really caring, then it's a bad thing that they become faithful. And then he kind of goes on to say, well, then you really need to hope that you can distort this faithfulness to a church. If it's not coming from apathy, we better hope it's coming from, you know, almost like a factionalism and a sectarianism. Let's hope he really thinks he's going to his church because his church is the only church,
the true church.
And they've got it all right. So it's like, boy, if someone's being faithful to a church, that's a bad thing. They're hearing the word, they're congregating with believers. So we better hope he's either there because he just doesn't care and he's just there for the routine, or he absolutely loves his church because it's the true beacon of truth and all other churches are false. Kind of as a quick background of the chapter of where Screwtape is going. Am I fair in describing it in that way?
I think you are, and it brought something to mind immediately, which is, and we've talked about different denominations, and it's interesting to think that a church would openly suggest that those that believe in works are completely off target. And by the way, if you don't adhere to scripture exactly, then you're probably not a good part of our church. But hang on a second. Isn't that a similar thing as works, where you have to meet a litmus test? To litmus test, and we discussed this in our pre-show, right? Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. He was crucified. He rose again 3 days later, and he ascended into heaven. To me, everything else is secondary. That is
right.
Completely.
No, and I think it's a good way of laying it out. And real quick, as we dive in and hit what is, you know, this specific biblical Easter egg, which is going to be Romans chapter 14, the kind of the background of this is there are a lot of churches. There's, you know, the Church of Jesus Christ started in, you know, you can read it in the book of Acts. It started in Jerusalem, and then it kind of expanded, started in a city, went regionally, nationally, internationally, exploded all over the world. And since then, the Church of Jesus has manifested itself throughout different epochs in history. It is the strongest continuing organization in the history of the planet. And we do have different stripes, and it's just a fact of the church. Some of these things are informed by culture. Some of them informed by doctrine. Some of them informed by style and things like that. I think it's very important to remember that there are going to be a lot of things we might do differently or disagree on, but making sure that we understand what the essence is of what a church is and should be, and what the important things are in our faith, and what the secondary things are.
Correct.
And remember, Satan is always trying to cross the wires. Satan's always going to try to get us to take the not important things and make them the super important things in life, or take the important things and get us to diminish those and act as if they're not important. Identifying what is the crux of Christianity, really, and I think you said it well, it's recognizing that Jesus died, was buried, rose again for me. If I believe that, you know, that it's not a doctrinal fact, it's a personal fact with relation to God and Jesus Christ. And from there, the Christian walk begins, essentially. And it can be quite a journey. And it's looked a lot different across all kinds of different denominations along the way.
So when I say my Lord and Savior, there's a comma in there, because my Lord is the person I worship, because if I don't worship Christ, I will end up worshiping other things. And my Savior is because I believe that this life we lead isn't an accident, that sin exists, and not everyone goes to heaven. It's just a fact. And
right.
Within there, I want to be saved. I'm not perfect. I'm a sinner. I'm working on myself. I want to bring more people to Christ because of the joy that I know exists within that walk. And that statement is something to me that, as long as somebody holds that, I don't care where they go to church, how they worship, whether they sing hymns or it's loud rock music or it's a guitarist or a pianist, or, you know, they right. do Bible study or they pray or they do communion or they don't do communion. None of that diminishes that tenet.
Right.
And I think within this chapter in here, I think it's pointing out, and you used the word earlier, sectarianism. And I've pointed out, and it's in our book, Confronting Evil in Our Time, that comes out this summer. I've talked about how my grandfather was a Catholic from Ireland, one of 11 children, and he fell in love with a Protestant girl. He was the youngest of 11. I took his wife back to meet his father, and his father said, "If I ever see you again, I will cut your throat."
Wow.
And that is sectarianism. Both of them believed Jesus Christ was their Lord and Savior, that he died and rose again. And they had that kind of animus towards each other over what? Mm. Now, to me, that's the devil's work. This is exactly what we're talking about in Confronting Evil in Our Time. And I was telling Galen in the pre-show, I woke up a couple of Sundays ago and just, I should have been laying in bed just resting, but I actually got up because I wanted to write about this. And it was about this feeling that I see these people poking fun at each other's religions because of the way they worship, but they have more in common with the tenet than they do apart with the type of worship music it is. My father decided Easter he wanted to go to Catholic Church instead of coming with us to the Bible Church, and he said, "Yeah, because I don't like the loud music." I'm like, "Have a great time."
That's fine. Back here. Sure, sure.
But there's no division there. There's no wedge being placed in between. And actually, I loved it even more, Galen, because my father was choosing to worship Jesus Christ the way that made him feel more connected.
And good for him. I hope he had a great Easter celebrating the resurrection. Amen.
Correct. Yeah. And that's it, right? So you look in here, and I've talked before in the first go around in this episode about being a connoisseur of churches. And I struggle with the idea of building community within a church where you take your family, you meet with people, you help each other grow, you help each other through hard times, they help you through hard times, they celebrate great times with you, and being that person who experiences these different forms of worship and different celebrations of Christ and services. And yeah, I'm a little conflicted with that, I've got to admit, because I enjoy it all.
Right. And real quick, before we dive in, and I want to read the section in this letter where we really see our specific Easter egg. But I also want to throw out the fact that there are differences does not mean that it's not important to realize the differences or study the differences. But we always use, our pastor has always used a really good illustration of talking about open-handed issues and closed-handed issues. So there are some things that we want to hold in the open hand, which means other believers might disagree, but we can still have unity with them in some sense. Maybe we can go to the same church, or maybe we can go to the same Christian camps or vacation Bible schools or whatever it is. And that we can disagree on things like our eschatology. When is Jesus going to come back? Is there going to be a literal rapture? What's the right form of worship? Should it be just an organ and just the old hymns? Should there be a guitar? Should there all of the things that have been discussion points, some of the things that aren't essentials. And then there are some things that we hold in the closed hand. Is scripture authoritative? Is it truly the inerrant word of God? Is Jesus Christ truly God? Did he die and rise again? There are things that we don't want to give up on. And just understanding the fact that there's a lot of things that divide us practically that really are in the open hand. And it doesn't mean they're not important. It doesn't mean we don't want to study those things out, but it means that sorting out the unessentials in Christian doctrine or the open-handed issues is not the primary goal. Knowing Jesus and walking with Jesus and growing in that relationship, that's the primary goal of the Christian life. And that should be the primary goal of the church, gathering together to worship Jesus and grow in their walk and knowledge of him, not to grow in conformity to the non-essentials.
Correct.
And that, I think that is... That's the crux of this letter that C.S. Lewis is getting at, and I think it's the crux of our Easter egg here.
Yeah, and so but just before you dig in, for our listeners out there, the Great Commission is that we go out and spread the word. We go tell it from the mountain. We bring people to Christ. That's what we are asked to do because of the joy that comes with that relationship with Jesus Christ. Whenever you meet people who get into the weeds on what I just mentioned were secondary things, as long as you believe in that tenet, Jesus died, rose again, he's your Lord and Savior, it doesn't matter. Do not do the devil's work and try and discourage their faith.
Right.
Like at our Bible study Monday, we had great discussions with different people who have different, what I said, secondary issues. And I only say secondary, it's not non-important, because I think there's tertiary and issues below that, you know, like, was the ark really as big as they said it was? Is that up for disagreement, right? It's like little things that don't matter that much. But with these big ideas, the big idea has, that tenet has to be foundational. And then bring more people to Christ.
Right. So I want to dive in here towards the end of the chapter. Screwtape is kind of advising Wormwood on a lot of things. And he says, we have quite removed from men's minds what that pestilent fellow Paul used to teach about food and other unessentials. Namely, that the human without scruples should always give in to the human with scruples. You'd think they could not fail to see the application. And all. Basically, what he's saying is there's a lot of things that we might disagree on. I don't think we should do that worship style. And real quick, he's highlighting in Romans chapter 4, Paul talks very pointedly and specifically about the fact that there's going to be Christians, brothers, he calls them, that are going to disagree on certain issues, talks about holy days, talks about what food is clean or unclean to eat. And basically, he says, each one, you should study it out. You shouldn't just not have an opinion, but you should study it out and then go with how your conscience leads. So if it's a non-essential issue, Romans chapter 14, pursue it with a little grace and love and deference to the other brother, rather than letting it become a divisive issue. And specifically, he says, Paul kind of says two things. He says, the brother that seems to be more bothered by something, the other brother that's not bothered by it, he should just bow to the other brother and care for his concern. So if there's something like, hey, I don't think we should be eating that food because I think it might have been sacrificed by idols. Well, that doesn't bother me. But what if I'm eating with you? I'm going to defer to you. And Paul calls it a lot of times like the weaker brother. C.S. Lewis says that the human without scruples should always give in to the human with scruples. But really, there's an attitude of forbearance to one another. If we can recognize that this is not a primary thing, it's a secondary issue, it's good to have a deference to one another.
Yeah, and I love where you're going with that, because in that Romans 14, 21, it's saying that Paul's saying, put others first, so think of others. Don't be all, I'm right, I'm this, I'm that. Especially if their freedom or this causes them to fall into sin or confusion. And right. I think the confusion part is because confusion is what draws people away from Christ.
Right. And it's also the breeding ground for the demonic. They love confusion. They love chaos.
Galen, you said this in our pre-show, which is, and I'll tee you up for you to finish it. Who knows the scripture better than anyone else?
Yeah. Satan himself. You know, the way I apply this principle a lot is I just see the church at large dividing over doctrine. Well, my eschatology is more accurate, and I got to get rid of these Christians that don't believe this or do believe that. Or, you know, if you don't accept John Calvin into your heart, then why even bother accepting Jesus into your heart? It's like, okay, whoa. A lot of times the church is putting their doctrine, Calvinism, Arminianism, worship this way, worship that way. And I highly value doctrine. I really do. And I also, on all of these issues, I have very specific and at times impassioned opinions. I'm not some guy who's like, oh, it doesn't matter. It does just whatever. I actually do have really strong opinions on
you should.
Paul's not telling us not to have those opinions, but it's not my primary thing, because I could spend the rest of my life reading every systematic theology. I could read the Bible 20 times a year. I could learn the Greek so good that I could just read the Greek directly, perfectly, fluently, better than I know it now. I could read every historian. I could read the Latin so that I could learn Latin so that I can read Martin Luther in his native language and not have to translate even Luther so I can understand what the church father. I could devote my life knowing every single thing about doctrine as perfectly as I possibly can, and I probably still wouldn't have doctrine as accurate as Satan.
Correct.
Because Satan lived in heaven. He walked with Jesus. And scripture even tells us that the demonic know all the truth about God and they shudder. Knowing factual doctrine is not the thing that saves you. And I'm saying it's not important, but when we elevate that to the highest pedestal, we're letting the things that divide us become the primary thing. And at the end of the day, we're not even going to do it as well as Satan can do it.
Right. And as Paul said in Romans 14, 14, don't do anything that causes your brother to stumble. And it doesn't mean trip over in the street. This just means stumble in your walk with God, with your faith.
Right. Right.
Don't trip them up with things that, and I think this is brilliant. So relevant to our whole and it's amazing you had this thought, I had this thought at the same time, which is this is a huge issue that needs addressing. It's something that if we took this away and everyone agreed to disagree, hold things true that I hold things super true. Like by me saying secondary, it doesn't mean I'm not in deep with my belief. But again, I'm not going to cause others to stumble because I want to bring them to Christ.
Right.
And that right. is the primary goal for me, is bring them to Christ. So I'm not going to make them stumble in that way. I'm going to talk to them. I'm going to agree to disagree, go through this process without causing them to stumble. And it's so important for that to be something that you as a Christian who's talking to other Christians have in your walk.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we could go on all day. I think we should maybe start to wind this down, but I think it's so important to have that the spirit of identifying that there's somebody else. They might look different. They might worship different. But they love Jesus. Embrace. I think we lose so much when we put other people in different categories of non-believers or apostates for things that are not really, does not make them non-believers or apostates.
Correct.
We lose out on a lot of really, really great joy in unity and Christian fellowship. And we lose out on a lot of opportunity to impact the world around us because we're trying to make our thing, our thing. And I think it's sad. I think it is something that happens too easily. And again, we're not diminishing the value of doctrine and believing all these other things. I believe the Christian life, we talked about the word sanctification earlier in the pre-show, but everybody's walking towards that process of becoming perfectly holy and becoming perfected from a different place and at a different pace. And it's good to have a little bit of grace realizing that. So I want to end, if I can, just by reading the rest of this. Screwtape says, "You would expect to find the low churchman genuflecting and crossing himself, lest the weak conscience of his high brother should be moved to irreverence, and the high one refraining from the exercises lest he betray his low brother to idolatry. Those that are praise and worship with our hands in the air, maybe when we're with our Presbyterian brother, be willing to put it down a little bit so he doesn't feel irreverent. And maybe when, if you're the Presbyterian in the high church liturgy, reading from a lectionary and reading the catechisms, maybe be willing to make it a little more casual so your friend from the charismatic church that's visiting for the day, you know, it's more accessible and understanding to him." He says, that's how it should be. And he says, so it would be if it were not for our ceaseless labor. And that's what the demonic is ceaselessly doing, rather than having a common sense major on the major, minor on the minors, the demonic is alive and at work, dividing the church over the secondary issues. And I think that's our Easter egg. And I think that's our call and really our hearts, your heart and mine, to just say, let's identify the major things and center around that.
Yeah. And when non-believers see exactly what you just mentioned, they have no interest in coming to Christ.
Right. If they can't see unity, you know, it just looks like infighting and chaos. And why would I even go to your
church?
Enough
of that in their own life.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. We've got to show them something different, and we can. So, well, hey, it's been a great letter. 16, unpacking another great Easter egg. We look forward to seeing you next time here at the Screwtape Letters podcast, Confronting Evil in Our Time.